Sportskühle, Sportskühle.
Professional music to open the show. I'm Kev Callum here in the greatest wrestling city in the world, Chicago, Illinois, and that guy's over in Sacramento. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing today, Kevin?
Lot to get into, lot to touch on. We will touch upon all of it. The very odd, but certainly marquee match made for the upcoming WWE Premium Live event. WWE Premium Live events could be changing, and this news was broken by the guy who runs the UFC. He's telling us what to do. We'll get into all of that. We'll get into the fan outrage that never seems to end. All right. News from AEW from Bryan Danielson. That's interesting. We need to touch upon a lot to get into. And we'll do plenty of your questions and answers. We do the Rings and Rambles every Monday afternoon for those of you who see it, who are faithful to it. I know there's a lot of different sports key to show. So definitely check us out. One thing I ask you to do if you're watching now is to hit the like button. Hit the like button. Send the link to yourself, by the way. I know some people say, oh, I can only watch a little bit and then I got to go back to work. I got to do this. Watch the rest of it. Come back and watch more. The Sports Kid Wrestling YouTube channel just dropped some big videos. I know you had some big videos dropped this weekend, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
What were you touching on there, Nick?
I had a few things that I was touching up on, but we had the Bloodline Civil War that just got released and whatnot. And there's a few more out there. I'm going to leave it for the people to go and check out themselves. You know, I don't want to spill too much of the beans over here.
All the beans will stay in there, and you have to go clicky-clicky and watch them. Just give us a couple clicks. I know your clicks are very limited. Another thing you can do is just pass the show on to friends of yours. We do this every Monday. I know there's a lot of choices and different things like that, so you guys help us out. If you guys give us an inch, it's really a mile here. People going, what's up? How you doing? What's up? How you doing? Shout out where you guys are watching from, too. If you're watching for the first time, I love hearing people who are watching from different parts of the world. We love seeing that. Cody Rhodes for the win. We will talk about that. People saying Seth Rolling. I don't know about a Seth Rolling. I know a Seth Rollins. We just dropped a video today that already, like, more than 12,000 people watched in the first few hours, which is great, about the psychology between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and how long their story goes back and how they can maybe even be played up on in the future. I just did a video about Gable Steveson and how he was one of the biggest unfulfilled potential moves by WWE in recent years. And that video, I think, will be dropping hopefully within the next week or two. So look out for that. Let's get into it. This big match was made this past Friday on SmackDown. WWE now kind of settling into the rosters that they're going to have here. And every time they go to Saudi Arabia, they're going to do something that is out of the box, big on paper, but even to hardcore fans makes us scratch our head. One of the more recent big matches that WWE did in Saudi Arabia with this huge money deal they've had since 2018 was Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns, a match on paper that even the I know diehard fans were like, no way, this cannot work. And then it's just easily the most exceptionally like exceeding expectations match of all time in my eyes.
Right.
And that match was fantastic and had run-ins and all these different things. But Logan Paul, this guy who's not supposed to be good at wrestling, is pretty solid at it. I'll say that. I'm not going to say he's the best wrestler in the world, but he's a guy who understands his position as a feature player in WWE and delivers on it. And they've made it official to be him defending the United States Championship against Cody Rhodes defending the WWE Undisputed Championship. Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul. The match was made by Nick Aldis. What do you think of this on paper? It got a lot of attention. This was trending well into Saturday morning.
Yeah. When I was watching SmackDown and Nick Aldis was like, here's your next opponent. We're going to introduce him now. I did not expect Logan Paul to come out, but he did. And we're going to get a great match, I think. You know, Logan Paul is an entertainer, like you said. Is exceeding expectations in WWE from when he initially got in there. I don't think that anybody expected him to be as good as he is. But I think it's going to be a good match. I was not expecting, though, the double title match to happen. And that's the main reason I didn't expect Logan Paul to come out there, because he's the United States champion. So I do think it's a cool matchup and excited for it now. I'm excited.
With Logan Paul, he's a guy that just based on his standing and who he is, you can't have him in the ring getting title contender shots. You can have him in the mat. You can have him in these matches. You can have him out there in the ring, and he clearly likes going out and cutting promos and stuff like that. But I mean, how many times has he actually wrestled on television, free television? He's not wrestled that much on free television. He's exclusively wrestling on streaming premium live events behind a paywall, correct?
Yes. That was part of his contract when he came in, though, right? It was just like...
I would assume. You know what I mean? And it feels that way. But, I mean, that gets under people's skin. But he's a heel. But, I mean, that's kind of... The story is the heel. He's clearly somebody who hasn't earned it. And here's Cody Rhodes, who's... Yeah, he was Cody. He was his son, but he's years ago earned all of these things. Like, that was earned a long, long time ago through surgeries and bumps in the road and all those different things. So... I want to hear your take on this here. We'll talk about Becky Lynch, her contract news. We have people asking about that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that as well. But then, you know, I have these ones where, you know, we're always going to have this response. Lynn saying, LA Knight needs gold soon. You know, and LA Knight was somebody that people were talking about was going to have a big time after WrestleMania. He won that match at AJ Styles. Yep. He just all threw a chair at him while I was trying to interview him. Fun times. And the title shot back. Like, There's no way they were going to do this without upsetting people, but it does upset people. But I do think this is a match that's made for the most casual of wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
Face off with the most diehard of diehard wrestling fans. It's worth noting, you know, Cody's a guy who's starting to become, you know, over with the casual fan who kind of comes in and out. They know Cody Rhodes a little bit. He's in that conversation. You know, news came out. He was one of the top 10 all sports merchandise movers, all sports, not just WWE. So he's in the top 10 conversation. That's NBA, NFL, all those different things. Now he'll pop out of that list at some point. But the fact that he's even on that list is impressive and a sign of WWE's marketing machine and him at the top of it. The Tulk 64 says Cody wins, Logan Paul retires. Halfway cry face, tears emoji. I don't see Logan Paul retiring anytime soon. Hopefully they get him for a new deal because he's just delivered on it. Lynn saying he's overrated for sure. But the fact is he's underrated for sure. You know what I mean? Like, I'll say that too. I mean, if you say you want to say he's overrated, but this is a guy who's supposed to bring young people who are just kind of casual about wrestling to the table. He's done that. You know, that's your return on investment, right?
Yeah, I'll say he's hated. I don't say he's overrated, but he's playing his part. He's playing his part well. He goes out there, he cuts good promos, and he gets heat, and that's exactly what they want. So, I mean, it's the guy is doing exactly what they're asking of him.
You can tell a story with him that you can't tell with other people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you can tell a story that, like, anyone's just kind of coming in. People saying yawn either way. So a lot of people have feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm also like, you're going to be watching the show, though. You know, like, or you're, if you're not going to watch this match live, you're going to want to see what happened on it, you know? Yeah. So I want to hear what people think here. We'll talk about King of the Ring here in a little bit. There were some matches that were untelevised, which I thought was an interesting
Definitely.
We were talking about the future of WWE and where Raw was going to end up last week. Remember that? We were doing the WWE TV news. Ozzy, who's a weekly viewer, thank you, Ozzy, says Raw will be on USA Network after the end of September. Yes, that was confirmed this week since we last did our show last Monday. WWE scoring a $25 million deal for 2 months, which I'm like, that's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
$25 million for 2 months. And also that's while USA Network is going to find something else to put on Monday nights. $25 million and WWE SmackDown is going to be there. So, of course, at the end of the year, that'll close up their relationship with USA Network, where WWE's been short of 5 years since 1993. So that's a big deal. Big deal for them. WWE moving to Netflix, SmackDown moving from Fox over to USA Network. So NBC Universal owns USA Network, still in the WWE business. Interesting move there. $25 million for 2 months. That's a lot of money just for 2 months of TV shows.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like a thank you for all these years, you know, for for all the Monday nights you've blessed.
And they're not going. I mean, they're getting SmackDown.
Yeah, exactly. You know? They still have a WWE show on the network. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's huge. $25 million for two months. Wow. Not bad at all.
This is a question I was just about to ask you, and I love our viewers. Okay. Let's give a thumbs up to this guy. Both give me a thumbs up to this guy who's going to give this question right now. I didn't do two thumbs up. I'll do two thumbs up for Brian Dunlap with this question. We're talking about TV moves, TV, big money move, making money move, money moves, money moves. We should do the, if we could, we could sequence, we could do the primetime players dance while we're in two different parts of the country. Brian Dunlap says, should AEW run a cable show on Monday nights when Raw moves to Netflix? What a question. You know, Brian, I would have waited until the final segment of the show where we take questions and answers, and I will do those if you guys have questions. Sorry, my cord is getting cut on my chair. And I would do that, but I saw that question. I just could not stop myself here. Yeah. Interesting moves. We're talking about WWE, these big money moves. We'll talk about a contract that's coming up here in WWE that's pretty significant as well. People saying do the Dr. Evil. $25 million. But billions of dollars have been put into place here for what's going on with what WWE is doing. I want to get to Brian's question, though. Should AEW run on cable TV? Monday nights, that's football night. But I don't know. What do you think, man? That's crazy. Because I also think it's, if Raw stays on Monday nights,
yeah,
and it stays on Monday nights on Netflix, it kind of keeps the routine of the people that have been watching. Monday night's my wrestling night. You have some people that don't watch SmackDown. You know these people.
Right.
Just watch Raw. Or I have young nephews and nieces, and they'll tell me about their favorite wrestlers. And I say, well, what do you watch? Oh, I just watch SmackDown. I usually watch on Saturday mornings.
Right,
and
right.
That's my nephew's 10. You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, do you watch it on TV? Sometimes I watch it on TV. Sometimes I just watch it on YouTube. And I was like, he's just watching like 20 minutes of the show on YouTube. So the viewership is fractured, but the night you do air is still important, still very important. If I was AEW, I would not try and just say that, oh, we now own Monday nights because we're on cable TV and our ratings aren't compared to WWE. No, I don't.
No.
You're still, it's, this is, that's crazy. It's not, I would not do that. But I mean, the crazy thing is, what if Raw doesn't stay on Monday nights? What if it moves to a different night? They can move to any night they want on Netflix. There's no limitations on that.
Right. Now, if Raw moves away from Monday, I could see Tony Khan trying to get Monday night, even though I think they, you know, they'd still have to go up against football. It'd be tough. But I'm with you. I don't think that they should try to compete with WWE, even though WWE will be going.
I don't think they should try and compete with football.
No, you know what I mean? No. Yeah.
I don't. I mean, and Tony Khan's an NFL owner. He's not going to want to.
Yeah, he is. Exactly. You're right. So there is a conflict already there. It's, you know, that was a very interesting question. I do see them staying away from it. I don't think it's the right move, even though WWE is going to streaming services. But, you know, very interesting question. Very interesting question.
It's very intriguing. I also wonder what, maybe they're on Monday Night Raw one night and it's Tuesday Night Raw the next week or something like that. I don't know if that's going to work for people that are just getting Netflix for WWE, and there's going to be plenty of people that do that.
Right.
So it's an interesting situation here. It's an interesting situation.
When do you think we get an announcement on what their plans are? I mean, definitely later in the year, but I mean,
for the Netflix move.
Yeah. Like when, what they're going to do with Raw, like what night it's going to be on. Do you think
what's going to happen with USA Network too?
Yeah. What's SmackDown. Gonna happen with
that? Yeah. Is SmackDown going to stay on Friday nights on cable? Cable TV on Friday nights is a totally different monster.
Yes.
And it's a different thing. I mean, people say, well, why does that matter? If it mattered, if they move, because it's the rating you can get. The rating you can get on network TV compared to that, when Friday nights has never been a hot TV night in general. But WWE did good ratings on Friday nights on network television.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years. But Fox couldn't sell the type of advertising rate they wanted to return on their investment. So it may be that, but what would have done on a Thursday or Friday or Wednesday or something, you know? If I'm WWE, I don't think they're in any position to think about what AEW is going to do beyond maybe Wednesdays, you know? And maybe they would want to go to Wednesdays now and then. You also have NXT is going to be moving in October.
Yeah.
Where would they want to put that show? Does CW, or you're moving that show? Do they want it on Wednesday nights? Do they want it on Tuesday nights? I think it stays on Tuesday nights. But if SmackDown is the one I think would move more. Raw is a staple. It's been on Monday nights since 1993. You know where it is. It is not hard to find. If it moves to Netflix, and you have to get all these people to make sure they're cool with a new app and they haven't had Netflix in a while, or maybe they have to, you know, do the dual account with somebody. You see this now. They've done the password sharing. They've really cropped down on it. And Netflix, in doing that, made a lot more money. They made tens of millions of dollars more money when they cracked down on password sharing. So when you start getting people into, okay, if I really want to watch Raw, I got to get Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you make the change of the night. I think you really keep it on Monday Night Raw. You keep it. They know it's there. They're getting Netflix for that, right? It's been on TV since 1993, right?
Yeah.
SmackDown has a pattern of jumping around every few years. So for longtime fans, and you want to build off that million to 2-3 million people that watch WWE every single week, not the lapsed people. You really want to build on a 52 week a year program. SmackDown can move around.
Yeah.
That's where, if I'm AEW, I think you'd be much more concerned if AEW is in a position where even just now and then SmackDown is going to be on a Wednesday night. If SmackDown's on a Wednesday night, you know, and watch these out. NBA rights move around, you know, and AEW, they even get renewed. They get renewed, right? Great. Yeah. They should. And it's good. It's good for the wrestling business if they do. But I did not know. I thought we were going to save this until the end. SmackDown is the real one I would worry about.
You could see SmackDown jumping around on nights like throughout the year. Is that what you're saying?
Totally. Nice. Totally. I mean, it's Friday nights on network television. Network television is free. So to explain to people outside the country, network TV, you just get it over the air. It's free, right?
Yeah.
So that's why when SmackDown went there, it was such a big deal, you know? Yeah. So for that regard, they're now going to go back to really converting. All right, million and a half viewers. We're not shooting for two million and a half viewers. That's a number that AEW would kill for right now. Yeah. Raw, I mean, Raw can do that now fairly easily. That's the range it hits in. And in a 2023-2024 number, that's a strong, fair, non-live traditional sports number to do.
Right.
And there's some reality shows that do a lot more than that. Yeah. But, I'd be really worried. I'd be really, really worried now to see what SmackDown does. And if WWE really wants to just make that number two spot feel really far away from number one.
Oh, man.
You tell me SmackDown is on Wednesday nights. I want to know how people feel about it. And I'm not saying it to like get under anyone's skin.
Right.
But it would be the ultimate. You're not catching up.
Yeah.
You're not going to get near us. You know,
there wouldn't be any wars.
But it would create a conversation. And I think it would bring some eyeballs to AEW of people that have lapsed out of AEW. You know, so some people would be like, all right, AEW, what do you got?
Yeah,
if you're going to go head to head with it, and I'm on this segment with this tag team on SmackDown, I don't care about, is cool. I'm going to click over to AEW. What are they? Oh, ooh, ooh, blood. Ooh, 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 saying weird meme phrases on a television show and creating a whole scenario around it. You know, like, that's things that AEW will do. Sometimes WWE will do them, and they won't do them as often, you know? Oh, you're doing a show that's much more geared to a male 25 to 40? Maybe they do benefit from that. It's worth noting. AEW has won in a head-to-head TV war with WWE in the past.
True. Very good point there. Very good point.
Did not know we were going to see. That's the rambly part.
Yeah. We always got the rambles to count on.
We got the rambles. What do you think of this? The King and Queen of the Ring tournament. It's been the matches have been consequential.
Yes.
We saw a pretty nasty one here with Naomi and Nia Jax.
Oh yeah.
Naomi got roughed up in that one.
Yeah, that was.
They did some unique things with this that struck me off guard. And I want to see these matches. I'm surprised WWE, I know they weren't televised. They did matches in the first round and they announced 8 matches for last week's Monday Night Raw, but they cut 2 of them and said that they would be featured on live events.
Yeah.
So you had, was it Shayna Baszler and who?
Shayna Baszler and Maxine Dupri.
Who won that one?
Shayna Baszler took that one. And then Tiffany Stratton defeated Mi Chin.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had L.A. Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
He took down Santos Escobar and Kofi Kingston with the victory over Rey Mysterio.
Okay. So those all happened non-televised. Which, if I'm a fan who goes to those shows, pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
You know, make those shows mean more.
Oh, yeah.
Buy tickets to these shows, you know, make it mean something, make every match, make every show you do have some type of consequence, even if the consequence isn't that big. So good on them. Instead of putting a 20-second match on television, having a flash pinfall and saying that was a tournament match.
Right.
You know, another thing is these matches they put on Raw last week, specifically Sheamus and Gunther, beat the shit out of each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was one of the best TV matches they've had on Raw. Definitely since WrestleMania. Like, and like, I remember friends of mine who do not watch WWE were sending me a text of, was this on Raw tonight? I got that from like 2 different people.
Nice.
And it was Sheamus's back because he got chopped in the back. And it looked like he had like a tattoo on his back from Gunther's hand.
Yes.
What do you think of the King and the Queen tournament here and how they're kind of rounding out? Interesting ways to do it. Our very own Vince Russo over on the WrestleBinge channel says it means nothing. I think it means something. It's certainly interesting. And they utilize a lot of people that are outside of the world title picture and giving them some meaningful things. But I mean, I've heard a lot of people be critical. If you're going to have these matches, why are you doing them non-televised and not letting people actually see them? You know what I mean? Like I've seen some fan shot video of it, you know, but like, you can't have like a single one shot camera crew there and put it up as a clip, like make it look legit and have it on all the that's one thing I kind of noticed. I assume we'll see some footage of it tonight on Monday Night Raw or on television this week, and they'll kind of save it for that, which is fair. But in this topsy-turvy world where we have nonstop information, give me what I want. Give me what I want.
Well, yeah, you know.
People being ridiculous about the TV conversation earlier. Put WWE in the Hallmark channel. Damian Roy saying AEW Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
SmackDown on the WWWB. Wrong. Sing about the WWB. Yes. Vince Russo, bro, is not a fan of the King of the Ring.
I like the King of the Ring. I like
Josh Madlock bringing this up as well. Other than the injuries, the King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring matches have been great. Oh, yeah. The non-televised matches.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries. There's a lot of people that were scrapped and pulled.
Yeah. Zelina Vega.
Four or five people, right?
Yeah. I mean, Zelina Vega, she was supposed to wrestle Shayna Baszler, and Maxine Dupri had to step in for her. There's many others. I mean, it's crazy.
Drew McIntyre was kind of like storyline written out, but he did get an injury at WrestleMania.
And I mean, there's other Dominic Mysterio, Asuka. We got some big time players out who are off the board right now due to injury, and kind of concerning, but I'm liking the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring tournaments going on right now. I love how, you know, to me the matches do mean something. It's a tournament and it makes every match meaningful, and I like that they had four of the matches at live events. You know, it does bring more meaning to live events, and maybe now people who would see that just the live events coming to their town, maybe they're not going to be like, oh, I'll wait till SmackDown or Raw comes. Maybe they'll go to them now because you're going to anticipate
and maybe like, and also maybe it's a worthy experiment to tell fans, like, follow us on everything. If you follow us on the apps, hey, we're gonna, don't just follow, like actually be engaged by what things that you and I have to do on just this small scale for a handful of people that watch our show that we're just trying to make grow. Trying to do it at an exponentially larger scale where there's tune in factor and tune out factor and lapse fans and seasonal fans, and you and I know this, the people that care from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, and then they check out, right? And you have all of that. And this is a way, I think, to kind of keep the plates spinning in one way or another in a new way of saying, like, hey, we don't just do live events. WWE is in your town, and something big may or may not happen if you're a diehard fan. And if you want to skip us and wait for the next time we're in town, well, you missed this. You know, like, there's nothing wrong with that. And you have the opportunity to do that with every single show you do in some way, small or large or significant, or maybe not significant at all, and you tried it, right? Yeah. Here we go. Other questions here. People saying King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring tournament winners. Brian saying Gunther and Tiffany Stratton. Both fitting. Yeah. I think a heel king and a heel queen makes much more sense than a babyface one, right?
Oh, yeah. I said it last week. Gunther's been my prediction to win the men's side. I haven't given my women's side, but I'd say Tiffany Stratton is a very good pick. You know, I could see her, Nia Jax, somebody like that taking the crown. But, there is, when you look at that bracket on the women's side, there's Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, who could meet up and face each other, who are tag team champions right now.
They're not, but how are they going to coexist?
Right. That's what I'm saying. But we could potentially see that there as well. But I'm liking this.
You can't possibly coexist if that happens.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
John Roser, Bulldozer Roser, saying, do you think title versus title at King of the Ring is a bad idea? I actually am not opposed to it. I think the way it was presented just felt so abrupt. When they did this with Logan Paul before and they gave him the title shot to Roman Reigns, it was like, he's got 27 million followers on social media. You know, like they didn't say like that's the reason why, but they're like, he's so popular. The internet, yeah. Like they have all these like talking points that commentary gave them. That was a Vince McMahon era type thing too.
Yep.
And but it was like, mind you, they're gonna say that now. They're gonna say it again. They're gonna say like, Cody Rhodes has this many followers on Instagram, and Logan Paul has 24 billion followers on social media. It's like yeah, but this guy won the title at wrestling. You know? Right, like, right. You know? So there's something there. I think at some point they have to say he doesn't deserve it, but he's getting it because he's popular.
Yeah.
And or maybe Logan goes in there and Logan's like, hey, you wanted this Prime deal, dude. You wanted Prime on the ring? My beverage company put millions of dollars into this. What about giving me a world title shot? like if you make it work like that, I was like, that's wrestling sleaze. Like I can buy wrestling sleaze before I buy a corporate boardroom point at a PowerPoint projection guy. He's like, look at the numbers. You know what I mean?
Right.
This guy's Gen Z gold. All right. We want to get like, the speculative points that I bring up on a podcast should not be why you book a certain guy in a world title match.
Right.
But, I think it's a good idea. You know, a lot of the fans in Saudi Arabia that I've interacted with online and have listened to our shows and contacted us in the years, they just like when WWE's there. They just want Western world entertainment. Yeah. They want big bands to come there and perform. And Saudi Arabia still is always going to have a very unfortunate but very, very real socio-political stink on them for how people are treated there in different ways. And the same way when WWE signed this deal, you had a very drawn out thing. Now it's wrestling and people just want to see wrestling, and those things still may be there, but you can kind of separate it. But still at the same time, you're doing business with the Saudi Arabia government. Saudi Arabia wants to make the people of Saudi Arabia very, very happy with the wrestling events that they bring there. And this is part of that. Part of it is doing something that even the most casual person who just knows, oh yeah, I heard I live in the Middle East region. I got to go over to Saudi Arabia two or three times a year. My kids want to see Logan Paul. You know, and I've heard from moms and dads like that, you know, like, so like, and that makes sense to them. It's a casual viewer thing. That's kind of the play, as I established earlier. I do think that match will go on last beyond the tournament finals. One of the tournament finals will open the show. That'll be it.
That's a good call.
Josh Madlock, why don't you read this one here? I'm talking too much.
Josh says the title versus title thing adds intrigue to an otherwise predictable match. Interested to see how they handle it. Yeah, no, very good point there, Josh. Kevin, what are your thoughts on it?
It's winner take all. That does give it a special element. You know, that's something they tried to do when they did the title unification at, what, WrestleMania 38, when they had Lesnar versus Reigns. The biggest WrestleMania match of all time. And it's done in 10 seconds. And there's, you know, like that was a fun match, but there was no way that was following other stuff that was on the show. You know?
Right.
And even if this match doesn't follow the other matches on the show, we've been and seen live in person, you and I, we were WrestleMania 38 when there was shows, there was matches early on in the night. We went to both nights. I remember you and I went to both nights in LA for WrestleMania. The night one tag team match was the match of the weekend. That was the best match. It was Owens and Zayn versus the Usos, stole the show. Awesome. Night two, Cody versus Reigns, good stuff, but you know what was better. And the fact of the matter is, Cody and Logan are bigger names than anyone else in the show. I think they close out the show. They may not have the best match on the show. Maybe they do. Match hasn't happened yet. But the fact that they added the element that someone can leave with both belts.
Yeah.
You hardcore wrestling fans who are belt fanatics, the people that had rock hard nerd stat boners. for Roman Reigns' reign streak, the arguments you and I had with people at Sports Kita about they got to keep the title on Roman so that he can break Hulk Hogan's record and then he becomes the number three guy who's had that. That's not a good enough reason to keep the title on someone week to week, but God bless you. Now, if you have somebody who is a double champion, it's kind of cool. Hardcore wrestling fans love seeing people with belts and win a belt and they want to see a new champion crowned. And Logan Paul losing both those titles. You know, Ozzy saying it. Cody, two belt champion. Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, is the United States champion.
I mean,
during this current political climate? Oh.
Now, I mean, Cody's going to, he's already a fighting champion and he says he wants to be that. But if he puts the U.S. title on himself as well, I mean, he's going to be defending two titles. I see him really working that title as well. I think he's going to get a lot of title defenses with the U.S. title as well. I'm predicting Cody Rhodes wins if you didn't hear.
Oh, but then does that open him up to like wrestling guys he wouldn't normally wrestle too? Yes, you know what I mean? Like where it's like, all right, I'm going to have a 2-minute TV match with Ivar.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm on SmackDown. So you already break the draft stuff, right? I'm the United States champion. I got to take this title everywhere that the WWE's in America. Like they'll use some line like that to have him just, I'm going to show up on NXT. And guess what? Because I'm here, I'm a defending fighting champion. And guess what, Bron Breakker? He had a very non-idealistic champion in Roman Reigns. Whether or not people love Roman, let's acknowledge this. He was a coward. His character was a coward who says he's the great guy, but doesn't show up and doesn't want to fight anybody. And for years, depended on his family that he would manipulate to retain a title. Whereas Cody is, I'm the son of a plumber. I'm a fortunate son, but I'm going to fight. I'm going to earn your love. I'm going to fight for the people. I'm going to fight for the Revolution Wrestling. I'm going to fight for pro wrestling. I'm going to fight. You need a fighting champion.
Yeah.
This is more of a double down on that. If he wins both belts and then says, I'm going to do it for America. I'm going to do it for the world. It's easy. Throw the sauce on it, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's already over. But I have other people saying he's a boring champion. I'm going to buy that.
You know,
remember Logan cheats? Does Logan try to cheat? Oh, dude. Let's put it out there.
Okay.
Let's put it out there. I want your reaction on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. But what if? Just what if, dude? What if Logan Paul wins this match?
Oh, man. The reactions are going to be nuts.
When they did Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns, there was a discussion, right? There was enough people in this message board that we're all on, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were like, what if though, dude? You know, like, what if it's after WrestleMania, chill off period? Not saying the numbers are down. WWE's still selling out shows, they're gonna sell out Monday Night Raw. Cody chased Roman for how long to get that? And isn't the thrill in the chase? You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking like.
Hey, it'd be a good storyline. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It would definitely.
What if? I'm going to ask people this. I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
What if Logan Paul defeats Cody for the WWE title? I want to see what people think. I want to really see what you guys think. This is the ramble part. Scripts out the window. We had talking points that we wanted to cover today. Gone. Out the window. We're 33 minutes in the show. What if Logan Paul defeats Cody for the WWE title? You're on the clock, people. Tell me what you think. Tell me your real take on this. Get real about this. All right? Don't give me, it shouldn't happen or that. I know you're going to get mad. Tell me you're mad, but tell me how you would honestly feel about it. And would you watch more? Chuck Berry saying, hell no. Like that. All right. I'm down for this. All right. I want to hear from you guys though. Sound off. Let me know. Chris Laurie, because I love Cody, don't get me wrong, but Logan has that stupid arm. He's allowed to use the arm. The arm, does he have like the Lex Luger? Oh, I got to retag. I got my camera's all weird, Nick. Camera just went out. I'm going
to
be right back.
You're good. I'll hold on to the people for a second. What's going on, people? You can see that I am now Kevin and Nick. But I know what you're talking about here, Chris, that he has the bionic hand that he uses. He says that he's got that knockout power. But, you know, I don't see Logan Paul being strong enough to take down Cody with, you know, just his knockout power. He's going to have to cheat. Here we go. We got Kevin back in here.
No, I'm doing the on the computer, like webcam. Okay. Not the one I like that's mounted that is really wonky, but the picture is way better. Want to get Chris Lacey. He could do the gold knucks. He could do the cheat thing. But then doesn't that feel like we're just going back to like the Roman Reigns heel finds a way to win by cheating, like, thing. Like, we go back to that. And Logan's done this a handful of times. He's done the Roman Reigns formula of, I'm really cool, I'm going to fight, and then I'm going to cheat to win the match. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to do that, you know? Here we go. John Roser's been with us all the time. Bulldozer Roser. John. I can see him walking into his hometown of Cleveland as a double champion at SummerSlam. Ooh. That's right.
Ooh, that's true.
SummerSlam is going to be at the Cleveland Browns Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, Logan Paul is a very rich man. He has homes in Puerto Rico and all different parts of the world, but he is a product of Ohio. Ohio is for lovers, but is Ohio for cheating, no good, dirty dogs like Logan Paul? So are we going to see that, dude?
It could happen.
Thrill is in the chase. I'm not saying I'm convincing myself it's going to happen.
You're convincing me.
But if, and Logan is such a despised person by casual people, you know?
Yeah.
There's casual people that tune in and they're like, hate him. They hate him as they're sipping a bottle of Prime. They're like, I hate his guts. He's so bad. Hydration. You know, like, oh. I don't want Cody to go through this. As a fan. Right. I don't want a phone call from my nephew. Saying, right. Uncle Kev, why do they do that to Cody? Why do they do that to my man Cody? Right?
Right. But
oh man.
It'd be crazy to see
people saying Cody can overcome. I see Logan cheating.
I could see Logan Paul not wanting to lose the US championship to where he gets disqualified. He does something to get himself disqualified.
There were some people earlier when I posted just, hey, before we went live today, what do you actually think is going to happen here? Just give me the finish. And there were a lot of people saying non-finish. Yeah. DQ, protect Logan, Schmaz finish. Cody stands tall, but the technical record finish is this, right?
Yeah.
That's possible. You know, yeah. Gid's there as well. I think it's going to end up to a DQ, so no title changes.
Yep.
Isn't that a bait switch?
Kind of.
Because the winner's got to take all.
Yeah.
Be a winner.
That's what they're playing here.
There's no money in the bank out there. So like, there's no ulterior can run down and change things type situation.
True.
All right.
They are advertising as winner takes all the gold. So.
Yeah. So no DQ means no winner. Uh-huh. You know, so that's a bait and switch to a degree. It's a big switch. Now, mind you, they've done non-finishes before and they're fun matches, you know? Yeah. And this is just a way to keep the story going, right? Chuck Berry's. Of all the people to lose the title, Logan is not it. He's just not the guy to do it. I agree. But I'm just thinking, I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm saying it's an idea that you cannot rule out. If you're in WWE, you got to think of the sheer amount of reaction you would get. You do that on a Saturday. What is the conversation online? People megaphoning. You see what happened? Oh, you got to get peek out. And that gets people talking.
Yeah. I can tell you that my coworker, I've talked about him a few times on here, but he's a huge Bloodline fan and he's a Roman Reigns mark. He wants Logan Paul to win. Like every match that Cody Rhodes is in now, he wants Cody Rhodes to lose. So. Yes. So I can tell you that he's going to be happy if Logan Paul wins. But he's probably one of very few.
All right. Some people are calling it too, saying Solo gets involved. Other people are saying there's Wyatt Stick is going to run down there and do something. Of course, the puzzle pieces that we talked about in our last episode line up to May 25th. And if that's a non-finish, you know what I mean? If that's a non-finish you do where it's the Wyatt Six faction that they've been teasing in all these different puzzles just shows up and they just scratch the record. All right, here, everything's different. That's an out. You know what I mean? That is an out. And then you can do Logan versus Cody again with like a triple threat scenario. And it's a little bit, and then now it's just for the world. You know, you could do that again. That's your out. I'll let you have that out. You know, I'll let you have the, in case of emergency, smash glass with the thing that we've been developing for 6 months. Does Cody Rhodes have an easel? Have you seen this too? All these people calling for Cody just to turn heel.
We were talking about it last week.
Where did this come from?
It's the Undertaker, man.
And then Frank Izzo saying if Paul loses, he has no credibility. No, he already has credibility. I'll give you a pass in spelling credibility wrong. But that's okay. He has credibility in the sense of, yeah, he's an internet carny in the right way. And he's done all these different things that are disputed. The Suicide Forest video, which is deeply universally despised, right?
Yeah,
but that's a younger guy, he's an older guy, smarter guy, richer guy. And so all those different things and products and all these different stuff, know what he is, right? But when he shows up to wrestle, even if you're a diehard wrestling fan, you cannot deny he shows up in shape, talking like $1 million, acting like $1 million, putting over people. He's put over people in the ring, even in matches where he won the match. He made someone feel like a bigger star. Ricochet lost a match to him, right?
Yeah.
But Ricochet felt like a way bigger star, at least definitely for that night, when he was in the ring with Logan Paul.
Definitely.
So that's the case. Yeah.
And, I want to go back to Chris Lacey's Cody's evil side real quick. Did you see the picture that R-Truth? Did you see the picture that R-Truth posted? Where no, it said, Cody, he said, Cody said, let me help you with that. And he's helping R-Truth put on his tag team title belt. And Cody's kind of got an evil face staring at R-Truth. Like he's giving him an evil look. You'll have to go check it out for yourself, but check out the picture.
Can you send that to me?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll look it up right now and I'll get it for you.
I'm not going to fire it up, but I'm going to watch it after we're done here.
Okay.
On the topic of, hey, what if Logan won it? Ryan with a very sweet mohawk. Give it up to you, Ryan. This is a hell of a mohawk you got here. He goes, no shot. No shot. There's no shot at all. Cody has worked way too hard to just turn heel. Agreed.
Yeah, I agree too.
Agreed. Also, who's the baby face to replace him once he turns heel? There isn't anyone there right now in that role. Steve, sir, Logan does not needs a belt. LA Knight should dethrone him at SummerSlam. Good point.
Yeah.
A lot of takes here. So certainly interesting here. We talked more about Logan and Cody than I expected. We have all these different things we're covering. Want to talk about, like, share, comment. You haven't done it already. Want to hear from you guys. We'll get some questions in before the end of the show. Want to hear from you, Mo. Big WWE premium live event changes. We'll talk about that coming up. We will also talk about big WWE contract news. That'll be our next topic. So it's interesting here with WWE merging with TKO. We saw some more changes in the past couple of weeks. It's certainly more solidified. We're more than a year out from the deal being announced, more than a few months of the deal being secured. All the Vince McMahon shakeup behind the scenes, those very serious legal situations. So you have long tenured people in WWE whose roles overlap with someone who's on the UFC side. Now two companies kind of operating together, the backstage operations of them beyond creative and production, logistically getting events, marketing, different things like that. You're going to see a lot of those people, unfortunately, some of them get laid off, some of them stay, redundancies. This happens when there's corporate mergers. Mm-hmm. And I don't like talking about it because it's like dehumanizing people. And so there's some people that are with WWE for a very, very long time that have now just left the company. You can read about these names. But in doing that, you have the balance of, all right, are we ever going to see a UFC and a WWE event on the same night in different parts of the country? If I'm TKO, hell no. Logistically, what does that say to the people that invest in your company as a privately invested company? What does it say about it? Hey, because naturally they're going to ask, which one do you value more? You know, and so that puts a bad stink on one side of the company over the other. So TKO oversees UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, still very much a pay-per-view product. And they are going to still retain their Saturday night residency with their monthly or bi-monthly premium live events, their pay-per-views. They still call them pay-per-views over there. Now, we call them premium live events with WWE, where they're still going to be on a streaming paywall window on a project like Peacock. Maybe you're going to be in Netflix, wherever you are in the world.
Right? Yeah.
So, during a recent UFC press conference, Dana White, the president of the UFC, said TKO weekends would work basically like this. Friday night, power slap.
Power slap.
Don't know what I think about power slap, dude.
Me neither. Sorry.
Don't know what I think about power slap.
Me neither. Sorry, power slap.
It's the definition of a CTE vanity project. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Power Slap Friday nights.
Oh,
Saturday would be UFC. Sunday would be WWE's pay-per-view. So you get UFC 500 Friday night, you know, and the pay-per-view the next night for WWE. WWE in the last year and a half, the reinvestment of Triple H being the new creative leader of the company, Vince McMahon being transitioned out, the legal problems with Vince, Nick Khan becoming even more powerful and influential in the company, him being like the guy who said, we should move it to Saturday night streaming. It's a different way of getting people. This isn't the same appointment setting that people have with our events when they put $50 down for a pay-per-view. Now, you want them to go back to Sunday nights. The international growth, I think, is correlating very, very big with the Saturday night change.
Yeah.
WWE. Would that cool it off? What do you think? I enjoyed the Saturday night thing, even if I didn't see the whole show live.
Mm-hmm.
The international shows, love them.
Saturday
afternoon. Get a whole pay-per-view. Have the whole night to myself.
Yep.
As a single dude, that was awesome. You know, go out with a girlfriend or something like that. Sunday nights, I grew up with that as a kid. It's fun. But like people in the UK, other parts of the world, it's a rough Monday morning for them.
Very rough for the people overseas and whatnot. And I personally have grown fond of the Saturday nights, just like your Saturday. During the day, I like even more, honestly, just like you said, the PLEs.
Backlash was awesome.
Yeah, Backlash was awesome. You know, you have your whole night.
I don't mind this show in the Saudi Arabia. It was going to be like a Friday afternoon or something like that.
Yeah,
like, okay, cool.
Yeah. But no, I really hope that they, you know, I like Saturday. I'm not going to not stop watching. You know, if they go to Sunday, I'm going to continue to watch.
I didn't know how I felt about it when they started doing it.
I was one of those guys like, why are we moving to Saturday? You know, I got other things I want to do on Saturday. It's Saturday night. But then I quickly made Saturday PLEs my Saturday night, and I enjoyed it. So,
you know, but also if I'm not at an event live and I'm not I'm not watching it with people like, hey, we're going to get together and order a pizza, which I still do from time to time.
Yeah.
I got it on my phone. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fire up Peacock, watch a little bit, go do a stand-up show, come out. Don't spoil it for me. Green room. I one time where I went into a green room and I said, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Oh.
Do I love watching something on my phone? I don't love it. I love sitting down with it. You know what I mean? I watch more of some of the prelims and different stuff like that on a WWE card on my phone. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to see that main event when I get home. Going to make me a tombstone pizza. Watch Cody versus AJ.
Hell yeah. I got something about spoilers real quick that I just want to get off my chest to WWE.
Ramble, baby.
I'm going to ramble.
This isn't just me over-talking you. You can over-talk me.
I'm out here on the West Coast, okay? And
oh, the two-hour time difference, right?
Two-hour time difference. I cannot go to Instagram, Twitter, anything in those 2 hours. Otherwise, the whole show is spoiled for me because
I've had this with you before. Well, you and I will be going back and forth texting during a show about what we have to cover on Monday, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm ahead of you on this. There was one time I was texting with Emily May, who works with us, and she was doing stuff for New Japan, I think in Japan. And there was like big news, and I was like, oh, the time difference. I'm so sorry. You know,
No, it happens. So WWE, I don't, you know, air it again at 8 if you want, but for us diehards out here, air it at 5. Put it somewhere where I can see.
5. You know?
It's 5. It's 5 here.
Shut up, dude.
It used to be.
Oh, you get your whatever, dude. Go swim in the ocean, you dork.
I'm not that close.
You need to cool off.
I'm an hour and a half away. I'm an hour and a half away from the ocean still. Okay?
Well, yeah, we'll get it. Maybe. Hey, yeah, it's gonna take you until about 5 to get there, pal. All right. So.
All right, I guess you have a point there.
You got it off. Pacific Standard Nick Harkson over here is definitely demanding it. So yeah, it's an odd, but it's part of doing business, and you're merging and you're doing different businesses. What this Saturday night change predated though the merger. But it proved to be successful. Now, is this my thing? Is I'll take this. They haven't done this with every weekend. You know, like some nights they've had the shows on Sundays.
True.
But like a majority of them would be on Saturdays. You know, and I think if they're going to go overseas, you know, we're gonna get Bash in Berlin. I believe that's a Saturday show. I don't know off the top of my head. Can you look that up?
I think
so. Like, and then they have a Clash at the Castle. You know, so those are big shows. But if you're telling me SummerSlam, I think SummerSlam is still a Saturday night. Like anything they have in the books now, like that makes sense that it stays on there. I'm thinking off the top of my head. And that's still
Bash in Berlin is Saturday.
Yeah, and SummerSlam, I'm pretty sure. I know it's that's Lollapalooza weekend. I'm trying to figure that out, by the way.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be covering that. Yeah, SummerSlam is still on a Saturday, too. So, like, to me, it's interesting how you want to handle your business here while balancing things with everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm biased. I want my wrestling show when it's the most convenient to me. You know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same way. No, I wouldn't mind so much, I guess, if it's select weekends, if they're like, okay, mm-hmm. hey, we got a big event, you know, obviously they're all under the same umbrella. They don't want to clash with each other. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if it's every now and again, but if we're going to go all the way back to Sunday, I'm against it. I want to keep it on Saturdays. I like it Saturdays. That's just
Saturday or Sunday. What do you want, everybody? Sound off. When should WWE? I'm going to get to that big WWE contract news, but I do want to touch on this as well. Bryan Danielson had some interesting comments this past week during a podcast interview. Bryan Danielson has announced and been very, very public, people saying Saturday right now, that 2024, this calendar year that we are nearly halfway done with, would be his last year as a full-time in-ring competitor. He has noted multiple times he does not plan to say, oh, I'm going to retire. This is when I'm done wrestling. This is a guy who's had very, very serious injuries throughout his career to his neck. He's had concussion syndromes. He's had different things that forced him to retire before. So he doesn't want to do that. And he's joked about being a man who wrestles until he physically cannot do it anymore. And will go out there and I'll go out there and have the old timer matches. I don't care. And so he said that. People saying Saturday. Some people saying Sunday. I like the comments here. Let us know what you think. And he's alluded that there are some things he still wants to do, and they're in the calendar year of 2024. The two things he noted, with his contract expiring before AEW's All In show at Wembley in the UK, is he would want to wrestle at Wembley Stadium in the UK. He did not get the opportunity to do that last year due to an unfortunately an untimely injury. And then he would want to really have a big match in his home state of Washington at the Tacoma Dome, where AEW, is set to have their Wrestle Dream show near the end of the year. Both of those events would be after his contract would expire. Maybe he signs a new deal with AEW. And what would that deal be? Mm. Now, is this gamesmanship by one Mr. Bryan Danielson? And is this the loose lips of AEW? Like, they just have that, hey, it's okay, you guys can say what you want a little bit here, you can't do that over there? Or is this Bryan Danielson, who I will say is one of the smartest men I have ever been in a room with in professional wrestling, is this him just, I've never struck him as a politicker, you know, like struck me as that. But obviously I think you're going to have people that are WWE fans that want to see Daniel Bryan again back in WWE. Mm-hmm. It's worth having a conversation with, but I don't see him leaving. I think he's been really, really comfortable, even though he had his arm broken, you know.
Yeah,
and he had some other concussion concerns when he was in AEW reportedly. So, you know, but this is a guy, I think, from seeing how he interacts with Tony Khan even saying that, If I ever could not run this business, Bryan Danielson's the guy I want to run the business. The business.
The business.
What's in the business of Bryan Danielson?
I think he would stay. You know, I think he's being smart. I agree with you. I've never seen him as a politician or politicking, mm-hmm. but he's playing it smart right now. He knows what he's doing. And I think he will ultimately stay with AEW. I think he likes it there. He's had some great matches, and he's going to continue to. But it's, you know, we all knew this time was coming to where he was going to have to be more of a part-time wrestler due to his injuries and everything. But I think he's deserved it. He's had such a great wrestling career. He's done everything. He deserves a little bit of a break here and there, and not from injury, just from saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a little bit of time off because I've earned it. And I'm with it. So,
but it just, the timing of it is, let me do the other side of the coin. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I think he's going to go back to WWE. I think he stays. I think he stays in All Elite Wrestling. I think he stays there because he can get a very good, very safe deal where he does not have to wrestle that often.
Yeah.
Okay.
True.
And he can really just go and have a handful of matches, you know, and get paid X, Y, and Z. All right. And get this type of arrangement for his life where he lives the way he wants to do. And also work with people he wants to work with in a way that he finds fulfilling.
Yeah.
And there may be something in WWE that isn't maybe as creatively fulfilling. But mind you, this is a very different WWE than the one he left in, what, 2021?
Yeah.
And this is a WWE where there's been a lot of loose dots that weren't connected that are now connected. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of things. They made even changes to talent relations. There's somebody they just got let go that a lot of people were very, very happy was not there anymore.
Yeah.
From people I've talked to.
Yes.
And that was a behind-the-scenes situation. So you have that. You have people who are signing deals, who are in WWE to stay. Kevin Owens said his deal is coming up, but he does not see himself leaving.
Right.
He just threw the cards away. We're not. Yeah. I'm not even playing the next hand, buddy. Like right. I think I'm staying here. You know. And he's still being treated like a big star there too. You know.
Yeah.
So the of that. It's worth noting.
It's very
if WWE can talk to him,
they can
and there's a negotiating window, you know. But if I'm AEW, it would really it would be another blow. You know what I mean? Like the timing of it would be really, really harsh if this happens right around the time that they're trying to get that new TV deal announced. You know, like, oh boy, you know, like
that would,
and WWE says, hey, dude, you want to have a big match in Seattle, Washington? You've always won. Well, guess what? We're going to do this for you. You're listen. Vince ain't here, dude. you want to do a 45 minute kick each other in a chest match? All right, we're going to let you do it on a house show. We're gonna give you NXT. You go to NXT. You can get the crap out of whoever you want. You want the dojo thing? We'll give you a dojo. We got a TV show. It's a dojo right now. I see the dojo. Do you want a dojo? Brian Danielson's dojo down in Florida.
Mm-hmm. And do you think they're gonna press? You think they're gonna press this hard to get him back?
Yeah, they at least got to make an attempt.
They will.
You know what I mean? They at least just in a good faith. You know, like, hey, you were a big star for us. We made a lot of money with you, you know, and you were upset with the way things were here in WWE. This is a guy who left WWE.
Yeah.
Like, shortly after main eventing a WrestleMania, the first one that was in front of crowds after the pandemic. And he lost, but he noted, he's like, I was in the ring in this big match. I just didn't feel the thrill. I wasn't there anymore. Wasn't inspired by it. And then on the way out, one of the best matches WWE had the entire year. And the Thunderdome with Roman Reigns. I remember that match. That was the one that sent him out of the W. Like, he literally did everything right by the business on the way out. On the way out, he was still like, I got to lose to make Roman feel like a bigger star because Roman's going to be here when I'm gone. You know? Awesome. He was a part of the creative process. Yeah. If I'm Bryan Danielson, there are some things I can do in WWE that I cannot do in AEW. In terms of, I think, develop talent with a lot more eye on character development and character payoffs. I can develop talent in the ring, in a performance center, in an isolated space with very, very specific things. I can get raw talent. I think he's a guy who's thinking about the next chapter of his life outside of wrestling. There are more opportunities for him to be a bigger producer of wrestling in WWE compared to AEW. Not to say that you don't have them. They're just bigger. There's just more there to do. And this is a different WWE that is much more wrestling centric, and he's much more wrestling first person. But he's also somebody who benefited from the sports entertainment stuff and like got on a catchphrase that made him a worldwide household name for a long time. Yeah,
definitely.
You know, he's not foolish in that regard. He understands that and like why that has a certain place in people's hearts and minds.
Yeah.
Here we go. Bryan Danielson will return to WWE to be inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. for the Hall of Fame, definitely. And you know, I'm
that's an easy one.
That's easy for sure. I'm with Meet Us in the Ring podcast down here. I personally think that Bryan Danielson will stay in AEW, but I would like to see him back for one more run with WWE. That's me personally. I would like to see that, but I think he's going to stay in AEW.
Yeah, there's probably me that would definitely like it as well, because I'd like him to have, I'd like him to have not a sense of closure, because he certainly had it. Like, this is a guy who was told he was never going to wrestle again, and that return run he had, I want to say 2018, 2017, that was special, but it wasn't as special as it could have been. And then there was stuff he did with the Planet's Champion that was just awesome. And then when they did the Yes Is Back thing, it just felt like they were trying to play the hit that just wasn't going to hit the same way it did again. And the same way that Chris Jericho, controversial name, but Chris Jericho's a guy who's reinvented himself a lot.
Yeah,
I think Danielson is a guy who can reinvent himself a lot. And does he have a new coat of paint to come back to WWE? That's the part where I'm like, nah, I could see there being a challenge there. Or do you not need one? Bryan Danielson's back in WWE. Yeah. Daniel Bryan's back. Yes is back.
Yeah.
You want to go Yes again?
Right.
Did the couple years away make you care more?
Right.
You know, like sometimes that does it too. Like, that's the real slingshot, you know? And there's a lot of people that don't know he's in AEW. It's no shot at AEW. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And him showing up at a Royal Rumble. Oh boy, dude.
That pop.
Dude. Never won a Royal Rumble.
Oh.
He never won a Royal Rumble.
Hey, that'll bring him back. Triple H, get on the phone.
he never got a Royal Rumble, dude.
Yeah.
Boom. Get him right back in the picture. Here we go.
We got
remember
you.
That Royal Rumble you were supposed to win like 10 years ago that we never pushed?
Oh, man.
We're well over an hour. We're only supposed to do 45 minutes. All right. Love you, too. Love you, too, Chris. All right. We'll get to our show closing thing here. When will Miro be returned to AEW? I don't know, dude. He fell off the map with them big.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Here we go. Becky Lynch. Mm. Her contract, reportedly from Fightful.com, is set to expire in a matter of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And she is going to defend the WWE Women's Championship here coming up at the King and Queen Crown Jewel show in Saudi Arabia. What do you think here? Interesting scenario.
Very interesting. Becky Lynch, one of the biggest stars in WWE over the last few years. And I think that they'll strike a deal. I think it'll get done last minute here. It is very last minute. I'm surprised it got this far. But, you know, it's very interesting. If she drops the title here, it might be it for big time Bex.
Or she drops the title and then comes back.
It comes back. Yeah, she could still drop the title.
Right? And then everyone thinks she's dropping the title. I mean, she's leaving. She's going to AEW.
Could be a work.
Becky Lynch, AEW confirmed. Rebecca Quinn is now all elite. I already made the graphics.
There'll be so many graphics. If she loses, she's 100%
instantaneous. I had it ready. I had it saved in tweets. I had it saved in tweets, ready to go. I had it saved.
Yep.
Called it.
What do you think? What do you think about all this? It's interesting.
If you're AEW, it's another big name you want to get, you know. Mm-hmm. But they got Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. Have we moved a needle with that? You know, we've sold some tickets initially, but cooled off. You know what I mean? Like, cooled off. But the report was, and this is the business part of it, Becky Lynch has to be looking at the money that Mercedes Moné got, because Mercedes Sasha Banks, FKA, could have gone back to WWE and gotten a good money deal and maybe gotten a cushier creative experience. She got to go to AEW, got her own dressing room. You know, got her own cushy things. She's not wrestled a match for them, you know, and she's going to wrestle and she's going to debut on pay-per-view, and they have an angle for her. And they brought in a writer. I hired a whole new writer from WWE to be a part of it, reportedly. So, like, if you're Becky Lynch, like, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, there's a challenge there. And the same way that Edge went there, there's a part of me that thinks, like, she would be like, I want to go there for all of these new opportunities. You know, like, and she's somebody who can go into acting. She's she's a good actor. She has ability. When I saw her in Young Rock, I was like, oh my God, she's playing Cyndi Lauper. That's awesome. Yeah. Like, she didn't just say like, oh, I'm going to play heavy. I'm the wrestler. So I'm going to play an 80s wrestler in the show about 80s wrestling. No, like, give me Cyndi Lauper. I was like, yes, Becky Lynch. That's awesome. You know? Yeah. So like, she will push it that way. I think she's somebody who could do those things outside of wrestling. There's an opportunity for her to do something outside of wrestling. She's a young mother. I don't know if she's rushing to stay in WWE at this moment. I don't know. Maybe she wants to take some time off and then come back to WWE. It's also worth noting, Seth Rollins is her husband. They have a child together. They're in WWE. He just signed a big multi-year, big money deal with WWE while he's on the shelf injured, which it makes have to make you feel good when you're north of 35 and you're having yet another injury and they still want to invest a lot of money in you. And she's somebody who had a child while she was in WWE and they kept her there and they didn't say, hey, this is going to change your arrangement. You just had a child while you're with us. It's a different WWE. I don't know if WWE would have done that with any woman in the past 10 years, but now that's the way they have to do business because they're competing with AEW and the different things they have to do there. I think she stays. I do think it's under a different relationship. I do think she maybe becomes more of like the featured name that you see from time to time and is, I don't want to say like a Trish Stratus, but I mean, maybe like a female Brock Lesnar. You only see her come out and do big matches from time to time.
Yeah, I could see that. And I could definitely see, you know, now it's a new WWE. Maybe her and the company have an understanding. They're like, hey, you know what? You are a mother. You've done a lot for us. Take some time off. We don't need to get the deal done right now. As a matter of fact, we'll let it expire and we'll give you the good faith that we are going to bring you back. You know, maybe there's an understanding there. They're like, you know what? Go do your thing.
But this is, you have a billionaire over there.
Yeah.
You have a billionaire you're competing with.
That's true.
And Tony Khan is, I'm not going to say he's desperate, but if he feels he can get somebody from WWE, he's going to try.
Oh, he's going to try.
He's going just the same way WWE's. I'm like, we can get maybe at least call Brian Danielson.
I'm sure the calls are already being made.
If you have the legal thing to do it and you're not tampering with a contract, right? If there's a window, there's a window in which you can reach these people.
Yeah.
We don't know what those are. And it's not right for them to let that out because then they don't have any negotiating power. They don't have any power. They can, you know, all right, I'm open.
Yeah.
My representation is telling you I'm open to a conversation. If you want to reach out to me, it's very specific ways those are worded. Here we go. What does Jesse say? Liv Morgan will reference Sasha Banks, aka Monet, to Becky on Raw. Oh, that'd be interesting, won't it? That'd be interesting. Hey, if I kick your ass, are you gonna go for the Monet? Are you gonna go over there for the Monet? Shots fired.
Oh man.
I'm people correcting me saying he's Adam, not Edge. A lot of people still say Edge, dude. It's okay. Edge. They would hate her in AEW. You know what? They would hate her in AEW. But in AEW, the problem is the people they're supposed to boo and hate, they still love.
Yeah. That'd be a good issue
there. Big issue there. Who do you think is going to win the King and the Queen of the tournament? I said earlier, I think someone get pitched them to me. I was like, Tiffany and Gunther are the perfect people to win it. In the long run, maybe one baby face, maybe one heel. You know, that'd be all right though, too.
So. Definitely.
If you win the tournament, do you get like a title shot? They said that. You're the King and the Queen of the Ring, right?
I think they're just the King and the Queen of the Ring. But you know, I did hear, was it Gunther? He said, once I win the King of the Ring tournament, I will come and take what's rightfully mine after, and all this stuff. And I mean, he is alluding to that he's just going to go on a dominant role here. But
yeah, and it's kind of been alluded. If you win this, you get more,
you
know,
like
what is that more, you know?
I would like to see that though in the future, you know, make it worth a little bit more, make it
or like more. Hey, you get a match with anyone you want under any circumstances for any title, but you have to announce it. You have to make a royal proclamation,
right? It's not like the Money in the Bank where you can just cash in at any time. You have to announce and it's already planned out. You know what you're doing going into
you're tonight. Betting the crown.
Yes,
you know. Yeah So like, there you go. Doesn't that look cool on a t-shirt? All right. We're going to get an email about how we went too long today.
Yes.
I had fun.
It was fun.
You had fun. We all had fun. If you're on the podcast side of things and you listen to an hour and 9 minutes of audio, thank you so, so much. If you're on the podcast side of things, also give us a 5-star review on whatever app you're listening on. You can follow Nick on all the apps. Nick, tell them where they follow you.
You can follow me at Nick_Harkson on Twitter and Instagram. That's NICK_HARKSEN.
You can follow me at Kev Kellum on the X. Gonna give it to you. Never gonna say Twitter. Yes, you can follow me on the Twitter. And on the Instagram, I have a bunch of comedy clips up there at KevKellum6. It's at KevKellum6. Very busy with Roast Battle Chicago. You can watch that for free on YouTube. Bunch of free shows there as well. You can also support us on Patreon. We have a bunch of different free, uncensored, uncut, full shows where you can see comedians insulting each other for sport. So go watch that. We have a live show coming up this Thursday at Zany's Comedy Club in Chicago. Tickets available at rblchicago.com. That's rblchicago.com. Or if you go to my Twitter, all my Instagrams, all that stuff, it's all there. And reach out to me. If you're coming to Chicago and you want to go to a comedy show, reach out to me. I'm doing a lot of shows around town. I would love to meet some wrestling fans. And that's good. When watching wrestling, you have to do this very important thing. Just, you know, calm down if your fantasy booking doesn't get fulfilled. And a billionaire doesn't sign your favorite wrestler to the show that you watch on a specific night of the week. What is that, young Nicholas?
Enjoy wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.